Using technology and social media outlets, many people today post online self-portraits. On this week's News and Views, we look at the changing ways artists have chosen to express identity over the last couple hundred years, with a look at an exhibition of self-portraits now at the Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts. During the Renaissance and beyond, artists used self-portraits to showcase their talents and to demonstrate to potential clients a range of ways in which they could be represented. The Academy's curator of modern art, Robert Cozzolino, points to the great Baroque-era master, Rembrandt, who made many self-portraits.
Could have been just a way of exploring who he was. We think of that from a modern viewpoint, but it was also a practical thing. The range of self-portraits, showing himself in shadow, showing a full-length body, showing him in a different kind of costume, demonstrated what one might get from Rembrandt.
Other artists put themselves in scenes that act as social or political commentary, like the 1937 self-portrait of George Grosz, who fled Germany in the mid-30s during the rise of the Nazis.
It's called Remembering. It shows George Grosz kind of shivering, huddled in the left-hand side of the painting in a bombed-out, ruined building. And Grosz is really ruminating on what, by 1937, is very clearly a regime of terror in Germany.
Grosz based his picture in part on a photograph, and painter Elizabeth Osborne says the use of photography as a source expanded the kinds of images produced in self-portraits.
You can get expressions much more dramatic or expressions of things more in motion, as a smile or a scream or whatever. And it takes, I think, a very skilled artist to translate that to canvas or to sculpture without it looking like a copied photograph.
On the next News and Views, we look at non-conventional ways that artists represent themselves. You can hear this entire three-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News. Artists have created images of themselves for hundreds of years. On this week's News and Views, we look at the changing forms of self-portraits in conjunction with Narcissus in the Studio, an exhibition now at the Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts. Artist Elizabeth Osborne has become known for her use of color. Her work in this show was created in her longtime studio that looked out onto the Ben Franklin Bridge. She represents herself with colorful vertical stripes in a rectangle standing on a table's edge, alongside another rectangle through which we can see the outline of the bridge with which she has a direct family connection.
The view looking outward of the bridge and that little window was a symbol for my father, who designed that bridge, Paul Cray. And the table below, of course, is part of the artist's studio.
Another non-conventional portrait is that of 2008 Academy alum Mia Rosenthal, who has used her art to document a wide variety of subjects, from the contents of cereal boxes to stamps. As for realistic self-portraits, Rosenthal says she's done them as part of her education, but not happily.
I just obsess over, like, blemishes and hair. So it was always completely miserable, and I can't ever see a day that I would try to make a traditional portrait.
Rosenthal's postpartum portrait is a drawing of all the clothes that still fit her 3 months after her son was born, from socks and underwear on up.
Clothing is part of that identity, how you present yourself to the world, and I felt like a real schlump at the time. It's the stuff that fit was like sweatpants and old shirts. But if you put them in a drawing, it's kind of funny and you can laugh about it. So it was also, I think, a way to mediate that time for myself.
On the next News and Views, more exploration of personal identity. You can hear this entire three-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News. With today's technology, people may introduce themselves to the world by posting self-portraits online. On this week's News and Views, we consider how, for centuries, artists have chosen to represent themselves. An exhibition at the Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts is showcasing over 100 artist portraits and self-portraits, which span over 200 years, ranging from formal portraits to narrative scenes, from realistic to abstract images. Self-portraiture is a practice that goes way back.
From Vermeer to Rembrandt, on to Cézanne, Gauguin.
Painter Elizabeth Osborne has taught at the Academy for more than 40 years.
It just kind of evolves, I think, naturally. You're in your studio, and at some point you decide, well, I'll turn around and do myself. As a teacher, I see it all the time. It's just very interesting how they see themselves.
Just looking at oneself in the mirror is never straightforward. You're always going to transcribe your looks through some kind of emotional or psychological filter.
Curator of modern art, Robert Cozzolino, says in the more traditional front-facing portraits, facial expressions are often serious, but not always. He points to artist Priscilla Roberts' self-portrait, her eyes wide with surprise.
As though she's caught off guard by what she sees in the mirror, it breaks that kind of mold of the simple, sort of closed-mouthed, intent look.
Cozzolino says the artist's decisions about how to show themselves highlights the process everyone goes through in presenting themselves to other people.
And now that we have different ways of representing who we are through social media, but also during the course of a day, how do you pick what part of your identity you foreground when you deal with people?
Narcissus in the Studio, Artist Portraits and Self-Portraits, runs through January 2nd at the Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts in Philadelphia. You can hear this entire three-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News.